Greetings, travelers.
Greetings, travelers.
Greetings, travelers.
You have the Charlie's Angels. I love saying that. I just do. Of the Erie Travels team. You have all three of us. So you have me and Carrie and Bo. We're super excited to bring you this episode. Quick Mark update, which Carrie, of course, can comment on. We all miss Mark being on the show with us, but he is doing okay, and he is working on his health, which is what's really important. Carrie, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I know it's killing him. He wants to be here telling all the things so much.
It is. And we get little mini Mark comments because I know when he's resting, he scrolls through, and sometimes when he's feeling up to it, looks through some of the stories. So you'll have you guys have Mark here in spirit more than you can imagine. So.
Oh, yes.
But I want to touch on something. It's going to be a little dark, but this is going to be a listener tales episode. We have a ton of them. Thank you for sending. You can always send us more at erietravels.com or info@erietravels.com. We'll get the stories and questions. We love them. But I want to talk about something because we live in Western North Carolina, except for Bo, who's over in Virginia, but she's with us here in spirit. And this state is still trying to do a lot because it's not recovered from Helene that happened. And this is true in Florida that had Helene and then Milton back to back. We all need to come together regardless of political, religious views and help each other as a community. There are a couple of organizations here in Western North Carolina. I want to dispel some things because I live up here and have seen it firsthand. There is a ton of volunteers up here helping and trying to get, you know, recovery efforts in place, including FEMA, who is here absolutely helping, the National Guard. There are so many first responders from all over the country and the world that have come here and have come to Florida to help. And they're not people sitting around videotaping themselves for social media. They're just here helping because that's what their goal is, working so many hours every day, donating time, their resources. And there are some organizations that are looking still for Good Samaritans to help because there are still search and rescue. There are a ton of missing people because the water came so quickly, so fast, and so much of it that it literally wiped houses, towns off the map, and people are still looking for their loved ones and trying to recover. There are efforts to help the pets that have been displaced and are missing. So there's two organizations I want to talk about that we're going to put links to in the show notes. They're not the only organizations, right? But one of them is Beloved Asheville. It's a local organization that is even looking for volunteers for search and rescue. So if you have the time, the ability, the money to help, do that, because we all need to come together. The other one is a religious one. We're not religious on this show, but we are seeing that they're doing a tremendous amount of help up here in Western North Carolina and down in Florida, which is Samaritan's Purse. So we're not asking you to donate to a religious thing. Look into these organizations yourself, but these are two organizations that are on the ground here that we are seeing actually affect change. Now, here's one thing you can do that a lot of people don't realize. There's a lot of restaurants that have opened their doors and Airbnbs and hotels and stuff to give people places to stay and food to eat. Look into those and donate directly to those restaurants to help them restock. Because there are restaurants all around Western North Carolina, Tennessee and stuff that are literally feeding people all the time who are just there to help, thousands of meals a day. So this is just common. If there's anything you can do, and if you don't know what to do, reach out to the Erie Travels team. You can reach out to us at info@erietravels.com or through the website. We'll get your email and we will tell you how to help. Because all of our friends out there, all of our travelers in all these places need our love and support because they're going through things that I can tell you right now, I can't even imagine experiencing personally the loss. So this is just a little thing. Help if you can. We love all of our travelers. And of course, all of our positive vibes and support are going out.
there's been a lot of really, really tragic stories and really, really uplifting stories. And it's just been, this is going to be a thing that people are not going to be fixed for months or years in some areas. There's a lot of people without drinkable water, without power. And we just had our first like dusting of snow on the mountains. It's cold up here right now. Like, yeah. It's not like 80 degrees in Florida. It just got really chilly. So these people need things like coats and things like that too. There's just so many fronts that people need help on.
Exactly. Blankets, because there aren't necessarily places to stay, and people don't, it's not like they can, everybody's in a financial position to just go somewhere. So mm-hmm. any help you can give, please do that. Bo, do you have any comments before we jump into some of our listener tales?
I would say that if you are looking for a place to stay, a lot of shelters do take pets. I know people are worried that they won't, so they're staying in scary situations, but a lot of them are taking pets right now. So you don't have to leave anybody behind. And I think it's important to know that this isn't going to be over for a long time. And even if it's not in the news anymore, it's still important and you should be paying attention.
Yes. And if you are missing someone, reach out to these organizations, let them know. They will help direct you to where to get that name out. And they're doing everything they can. So let's just send a ton of our positive energy. And then if you can, resources, abilities, anything, let's help these areas, both Western North Carolina and Florida, Tennessee, Georgia. A lot of people were affected by this. So let's help them where we can.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, travelers. I know that was a little bit dark, but we just need to keep that top of mind. And with that, let's dive into some of your amazing listener tales. Carrie, let's have you kick us off.
All righty. Let's see. Okay, everyone. So I'm not exactly sure how to tell this story. It's creepy and rather unexplainable to me. I'm wondering if anyone else has experienced this.
I already don't like this. Go ahead. Yeah.
This is Erica's story. No.
Yeah, I'm glad I skipped this. I didn't read it. I'm glad I skipped it. Go team.
I drive for Uber. Ooh, can sympathize with that. And this morning around 10:30 a.m. or so, I was driving through a neighborhood somewhere between Hermitage and Mount Juliet. I was on my way to pick up a passenger. As I entered this particular neighborhood, I noticed that things seemed a little odd. I can't exactly explain it other than to say that something felt strange. I kept driving down this one road, and as I did, I looked to my left. I saw two very tall men in this one yard. One was resting up against a shovel, and one was resting up against a wheelbarrow. They were not moving. Ooh. All right.
Oh, no. Yeah. No.
They were staring straight ahead.
It worse.
Yeah, no, I did. Ooh. I hate all of this. All of it.
Ooh. No eye contact, please. So they were staring straight ahead. I didn't just do a double take. I did like about 5 or 6 takes. Yeah. They were so still, I was certain that they had to be statues. Although I thought that there would be an odd statue to have in your front yard. Yeah. The only issue I have with them being statues is that one of the men followed me with his eyes.
Ew.
But other than that, they didn't move. Then I drove further down the road. I see this little old lady sitting in a rocking chair on her porch. Same thing. Absolutely zero movement. This woman did move her head to watch me as I passed, though.
No.
Once I picked up my passenger, I went back up that same street. The little old lady had bent over, so she was moving. As soon as my car started to approach, she snapped back up and sat completely still again. Again, she just moved her head to watch me go. My GPS ended up taking me a different route out of the neighborhood, so I did not directly pass the two men again. Yeah, I think I'm thankful for that. But I did see them somewhat as I was turning down another street. They were in the exact same position. They hadn't moved a muscle. All I can say is that it felt like I was in an alternate universe or some sort of movie, or perhaps an episode of The Twilight Zone. I'm wondering if any of you have experienced this. This is from Meg.
Well, Meg, first of all, I looked it up. It's in Tennessee. Not going there. Thank you. I put it on the Erica Nope list. Absolutely not happening. No. But what do you guys think? Do you guys, Carrie, you are the ultimate Halloween decorator.
That's epic for Halloween, but I have a feeling this did not take place in October. So,
I mean, it might have, because they said this morning. So I don't know when we got this one.
No, that we got this in September. So,
unless someone was really hyped about Halloween, which understandable, and put it out early. They could be like decoration, like grave diggers or something, you know, but. Ew.
So, Meg, okay, travelers, have you guys ever experienced anything like this? I kind of wonder if for some reason, I mean, I'm just absolutely guessing, no expertise on this at all, but I'm kind of wondering if she was seeing like a side of the veil, because the veil starts getting thinner and thinner and thinner. And I can tell you right now how thin the veil is. I don't even want to start with some of the protection things, because I've personally had a couple of visitors and I have a whole story about that, but I'm looking into it because I want to understand some more before I share it. And I think I'm going to do an episode with me and Bo, but it was terrifying. I got to tell Bo about it. Carrie, I'll tell you about it.
Please research, and that'll be so interesting.
Yeah, no, it's, but I, this sounds like maybe the veil was thin and she was seeing something that was there waiting, like just, you know, behind the veil. I'm wondering if it was just thin enough that she was at a space where she could see something on the other side. I don't know. That's my thoughts right away. I don't love this at all. So I want to move on. Are we done? Move on to the next one. Meg, we will let you know if any travelers tell us any thoughts they have too on this. Bo, I'm going to have you go next.
Okay.
I'm just worried about stories. So,
and this one starts with, okay. Okay. So crazy story. Oh, wow. I can see Erica's face right now. She's not happy. No pictures or anything. I have never seen anything in pictures other than an orb of light taken by others. When my husband and I first separated, I didn't have much money. So I moved to an apartment complex called St. John's Landing in Green Cove, Florida. It was built in the 30s and used for military housing back in World War II. There's a graveyard on the side. It's a beautiful property on the river and full of old oak trees. I honestly can't say it was a bad place to live, just affordable type place. Little things happen, like the back door would open on its own when it was locked. Nope. The front door would be open when I woke up and went downstairs. Lights would flicker. All of this, I told myself it was because this was a very old house. I think I would be really upset if I woke up and my doors were open.
Yeah, no.
I wouldn't be like, this is an old house. I'd be like, oh, I guess I should install like a, what are they? Like the security chains or security bolts or something. It had one of the most peaceful feelings about it. Almost like when you walked in, you felt a calming feeling. My kids were so happy. We had so many laughs and such good times. My son still mentions this place quite often, and he was only 5 at the time. One night, I felt something laying in my bed. I know that sounds crazy. That does not sound crazy. That sounds horrifying.
No, look at what we're talking about. So glad I didn't read this one either.
But I felt the presence of someone crawling into my bed to lay down. I was so afraid that a person had come into my room and laid in my bed that I jumped up ready to fight for my life and my kids. I was going to take this person out, but there was no one. I know what I felt. It never happened again, though. This is when I started to think there was maybe some kind of haunting presence. Weeks passed and nothing happened that I noticed. Then around Christmas time, I saw a dark shadow climbing down the stairs. It was not a specific shape or size, just the shadowy presence low to the stairs going down. It was gone in seconds, but I knew it was something. I'm not one to believe in all of this haunting stuff. I lived in St. John's County my entire life, and nothing in St. Augustine has ever stood out to me, though I believe a lot of energy is there, just like many other old places. But this apartment had some kind of presence. I don't think it was evil or bad, just some kind of energetic presence there. Maybe spirits from the past. I don't know. But definitely something. I don't think I was the only one who experienced things like this while living there. And this is from Victoria.
Well, hello, Victoria, and thank you for being part two with Meg of completely creeping me out as we start our Listener Tales episode. Don't know that I'm a fan, but yeah, nope. I don't think I'd be happy. What about you guys with doors being left open? Like, there are some,
That's probably a horror movie thing that happens, but at least the feeling of the house was peaceful. I really, like, just because there's residual energy or something there, I don't think it's always bad. Like, there's just, you know, so much in the past, like, it's around, and, you know, it doesn't have to be a bad thing.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, it's very true. I think that, Victoria, it's interesting. We'll see if any other travelers lived where you lived and experienced what you experienced, but I'm just actually happy that, one, it wasn't malevolent, and I like the word malevolent, and two, that it didn't leave with you when you moved. So these are two things that I'm going to be very happy about for you.
You guys lived in Florida. Is St. John's near St. Augustine?
I'm assuming so. I don't know. My geography is terrible, despite living in Florida for so long.
It is. And I've been to St. Augustine, have many tales. We did.
I've been there too. It was cool.
Super creepiness. And
it's fun.
Yes. Let's, travelers, if anybody else has lived in this apartment complex that had a graveyard, by the way, I totally understand circumstances. Don't know how I feel about that. And let us know. That would be
graveyards, the most peaceful neighbors.
Yeah.
At some point, I'll have to show you guys when we first started looking at houses here. My husband found this house and he's like, I found the perfect house for you. It was this huge property that had like three or four buildings on it. And I was like, oh, and then he knew this because he waited, because one of the very pictures at the very end was turning and facing down the driveway. I think I showed this to you, Carrie, but down the driveway, there was a gigantic cemetery.
Oh my God, I would have done that.
That sounds like the perfect house. Okay, Carrie should have seen it. She would move in right now.
Oh God, okay, I'm moving on. Hard pass. No, no.
I feel like maybe I should read this one. This is
want to have your comments.
Oh shit. I just read the first two sentences.
Okay, here we go. I'm excited about, no, I'm reading this one, Carrie, because this is hysterical to me. Okay. Here we go. This is, hi, Mark. Well, from Mark, hello. I hope you remember me. I'm Athena. We dated for a short time back at BARF. Oh, Bay Area Renaissance
you
Festival.
You know that, Erica. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that took me a moment. I was like, BARF. Okay. I remember our first date was Beetlejuice. Oh, wow. So funny enough, I just saw the sequel last week. I've been a fan of your podcast for some time now, and I have a story for you about the recent storm. Oh, wow. Okay. I think we should have a scoreboard somewhere of Mark's previous relationships that run into the show.
Apparently, Mark has had a lot of girlfriends. We've had three of them write in.
Is it three or four? Where are we at now on
three? People? We've had three, and then Carrie.
and they've all had weird experiences too. Like, it's not like it's no reason they're writing in.
Yeah.
Like I'm in Scott Pilgrim, except But fortunately, the majority of his exes are not evil. They're very nice people.
That's good. Okay. So here we go. I live near Tarpon Springs, not on the Gulf, but near a canal. With the warnings, we were ready to evacuate, but my grandmother didn't want to go. We were trying everything. She's pretty stubborn. Finally, she looked over her shoulder and started crossing herself. She was praying and agreed it was time to go. We left in a hurry. As soon as we left, I saw she was looking at a man standing in the storm with a trench coat and a wide hat.
Oh, no.
Ah, I swear he had no face. He walked in the rain wall and just vanished. I watched Evil since you mentioned it on your show, and it is great. Yeah. They mentioned the gray man who comes ahead of storms. He's a demon in the show. Oh, my gosh. I have so many goosebumps all the way down my body right now. Okay. He's a demon in the show, and I think we just saw the real one. Grandma says she saw him step out of the storm surge. I know better than to doubt her. So glad we left. Our house was under 8 feet of water at some point when we were away. Worst storm ever. I think your show saved our lives.
Oh.
I never would have known about Evil and the Gray Man if not for you. That's two I owe you. I still owe you for the first time all those years ago. At least you weren't stabbed this time. Oh. What? Oh,
I know this story.
Yes.
Okay, hold on. I hope you survived the storm as well. Feel free to read this on your show. Let people know Erie Travels saves lives. Athena. Oh my God, thank you, Athena. Mark did put a note on this one. The Gray Man is a South Carolina ghost seen around Pawleys Island like Slender Man, though. He seems to have spread out, Topa style. Glad to hear her and her family are safe. I will share the old story sometime, but I will make sure she and other parties are involved with me telling it publicly. Okay, so we don't get the stabbing story, so that leaves a mystery sandwich. Athena, I'm so glad, but you brought up something, and I know I'm not going to say always leave, because sometimes you can't leave, right? And that's what a lot of people during these storms encountered. But if you can evacuate, if you can get to higher ground, if you can even get to a taller place within your domicile, these storms that are coming, and I don't think, unfortunately, we've seen the last of them, not because I'm being ominous or doomed, but climate change. The fact is you've got to keep yourself safe. And I'm very glad to hear the Gray Man came and helped your family and helped your grandma see that it was time to evacuate the dance floor. Carrie comments, this is a Mark X story.
I don't know. No, like, I think the height of the flooding was a surprise to a lot of people. So I'm really glad that people got out.
I think everybody needs to go stand in their living room for a moment and realize, like, I'm 6 feet tall. I can stay in my living room. That water would have been 2 feet over my head. Most houses, the ceiling is 8 or 10 feet. So you've got to figure you would have had maybe, if you're lucky, 2 feet and no feet.
And most houses in Florida don't have a second story, right?
It's not very common.
No, it's not. And it's not really safe because these winds come in. And, you know, for Milton, those winds hit, what was it, like 80 miles an hour or something when it made landfall. Athena, we are so happy you are safe, and we are so happy if Erie Travels contributed at all to that. And, you know, Bo's watching the Evil Show now, and I think we might have to do an episode on it, kind of like
we definitely do.
I'm obsessed. There's some legit folklore to break down in that show.
So I got to watch season 4, but we will sometime in the next few months, me, Carrie, and Bo will sit down, pick our favorite folklore parts of that, and discuss the Evil Show. But we are so glad we were able to help you and your family if we did. So keep staying safe and tell your grandmother we send a ton of love. Bo, you're up.
Hey, travelers. Hi. I listen not only because I love the folklore, but I also had an experience today and would like to hear others' opinions or experiences. We live in Appalachia, Virginia, city not specified for privacy. And I take my kiddos and our puppy for a walk in the woods every day. 2 days ago, I was in our favorite spot by myself recording a video when I suddenly heard leaves rustling nearby. I figured it was probably a chipmunk or bird or something. But soon after, it sounded like something was walking toward me. So I got up and quickly walked away, thinking it was a person I didn't know. The next day, the kids and I and the puppy were in that spot again. Lots of boulders that the kids love climbing on. When the air suddenly got very stinky, like gross doo-doo. I know that bears and other wild animals can be stank, so I told the kids it was time to go, just in case. Today, we were back at the spot. I decided to climb one of the boulders myself for fun. Suddenly, something told me to look around for an animal. That's when I spotted it. Across our neighbor's yard, I saw something watching us at the edge of the forest. It was black and had pointy ears sticking straight up. I didn't get a good look at it because my first thought was that it was a dog or a bear. I scrambled off the boulder, picked up the puppy, and made the kids walk quickly in front of me out of the woods. Whatever it was, it didn't follow us. Now, I know it's probably a bear or maybe someone's loose dog, but I've heard people talking about a dog man, and part of me wonders, is dog man even in Virginia? It could have been a loose dog, but I feel like it would have come to us, especially since we had a puppy with us. I definitely got a stalking feeling, like I feel like this wasn't the first time it watched us. Do you think I'm being dramatic? When my husband gets off work, we're going to go check for tracks. I can't wait to hear more Dogman stories. And this is from Kirby.
Well, hello, Kirby. It looks like Mark made a note. What did he say?
He said that there are multiple Dogman sightings in Virginia, which I'm not surprised about because Virginia is creepy. I say as a resident.
I'm going to just say that I feel like, and you guys know I talk about this a lot on the show. We have an intuition, whether you call it a lizard brain or whatever, that has that fight or flight instinct that goes, there's something wrong, go. And we're very logical species, human beings are. And so we tend to put that or bravado in front of go, go now, you're in a bad situation. And I think we need to listen to that. And it would not surprise me because that smell you're talking about, yes, there are animals that smell that way. I'm not going to deny it. And there are more and more panther sightings. Yesterday, I saw a whole picture of a panther that was caught in somebody's backyard camera, right? And they're huge. But dogmen smell like that. That's what they smell like. And to have an animal that is just paused like that is very, very interesting. And especially if you had that feeling of being watched. And the thing is, you might be in its territory and it's going, let me see how close this thing is going to get. Like, do I have to do something or is it going to leave? And I feel like it was a smart thing that you left. You'll have to tell us if you guys found tracks, but please be careful because dogmen are one of the cryptids I feel like that are not necessarily always giving warnings of like imminent, and they are pack hunters. That has been told to us by everyone who studied them, that dogmen are not solitary like sometimes people say Bigfoot or the man of the woods are. Dogmen hunt in packs. So if there's one, there's more. And you have to treat it like that, I think. Thoughts, guys?
I think wherever there is woods, there can be anything in them, especially along the mountains and the Appalachians, because that's just like a whole trail of a lot of areas that aren't inhabited and not frequented. Sometimes you don't know what's there. I noticed they didn't say the puppy reacted, but I think puppies aren't necessarily as aware. So that's not.
Well, that and how close it was. Because if it's intelligent, unlike, here's the thing. If it's intelligent, it's going to stand where it's usually not being picked up scent wise. You might've caught it scent on the breeze and it maybe didn't get close enough to alert the animal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bo, thoughts? Dogman?
I do wonder if Dogman does give a little bit of warning by menacing, because we've also had stories where hunters have come across them just like standing nearby. Yeah. And then, you know, the hunters go, oh shit, and run away. I feel like they're kind of like, well, I'll give you this one opportunity. You can either go or I'm going to eat you. So I think it's great that she trusted her intuition and wasn't like, oh, I'm seeing things. It's not a big deal. And I think a lot of people don't think they can trust what their bodies are telling them. And we think we're being paranoid. And I think we should really look internally at ourselves and understand that our bodies tell us a lot more than we think.
We don't like maybe give enough credit to some of our senses that we don't understand as well.
Or instincts.
I agree.
I think this probably predates it, but I think a lot of things get displaced during the storms and stuff. I mean, of course, be kind to all your snakes and random animals and deer and bear and everyone who's been displaced with the storm, but that's not the only things that are displaced. So whole region along Appalachia from Florida, there's probably things wandering about that aren't normally that active as well. So I wonder if we'll get some tales about that later on.
I'm assuming we will, because I can tell you I have sensed a lot of different things. And I think there are some very old things that have been woken up by this, but that's all I'm going to say about that at this time. We're going to do a quick break so we can have a word from our sponsors, and we will be right back after these messages.
Destiny Beard, the lyrical soprano who will haunt your dreams. With her alluring melodies and intricate harmonies, this dark siren of wistful song shall capture your soul and lead you into the night. Check out Destiny's new single, The Haunting Is Over, with international musicians Sam Haynes and Gary Bennett, as well as her other musical works at destinybeard.com.
And we're back. We're back. And we're starting
Erica,
with...
I just looked at who wrote us next, and I feel like I'm going to be sick.
Okay. I know. I'm excited about it. I saw it during the break. So here we go. Carrie, I'm sorry. I'm stealing this one.
No. This is all you. Short and sweet. Go for it.
Dear Eerie Travels team. Hello.
Hi.
Your investigations are commendable. You are indeed looking in the right directions. However, be warned, some truths are best left buried. Tread carefully and do not ask too many questions of the wrong people. The shadows are watching. Stay vigilant. Regards, X.
I missed him. It's been so long since we've heard from him. I'm so glad he's okay.
I'm glad he's okay. I'm glad he's doing well. I'm surprised that we're doing well. So
I don't think we've done a UFO episode in a while.
We haven't. So X, I'm going to throw something on the back of your story. So it's wonderful to have you back. You know, we feel like you're a part of this show, and I'm glad you're happy with what we've done. Cause a lot of times I'm not even sure what we did wrong when we do things wrong, but there is a news report that's come out twice in the last couple of days, which is interesting, which is talking about the fact that there are two different astronomy groups that are, it says, NASA's partner says alien announcement to come within weeks. And there is another article about how there is some sort of proof of alien stuff coming in the next couple of weeks. Now, we've heard that before, but there has been, me and Mark have talked a lot about this. There's been a lot of buildup to a reveal, because we've talked about the fact that you can't just come out and go, hey, there's aliens, like that, because the world would panic. But it's going to be interesting to see what's talked about here shortly. I feel it's coming.
They're saying they're just giving us little bits because we can't handle the whole picture at one time, even though it's been a huge tease about like declassifying things and, oh, new things revealed. And that hasn't really come to that much fruition yet.
Yeah. It always like peters out. Like they're like, here's a little crumb. And then we hope you forget about this, you know?
Yeah, it's I don't know, it's interesting. But X, thank you for being happy with what we're doing so far. So we're in spooky season. I feel like we're okay. And then
he's going to be mad at us again. But you know?
I already know that there's an alien episode coming up in November that we have planned out that Bowen is doing research on. So, we'll probably go back to the doghouse. But X, thank you for the star of approval. I'm going to consider this a silver star, not a gold star.
Yeah.
A silver star of approval. So
I was going to say, speaking of outer space, I know they recently did a really cool rocket launch where we are making steps towards having space stations and colonization being a real thing. And that was really awesome. Look it up on YouTube. Mark is also a space nerd, so he keeps me informed of these things. But they launched the rocket. They caught the booster, and that was really cool because normally that like explodes or gets lost in the ocean. So really cool. Space technology. No,
it's great. I just can't wait for them to meet our neighbors up there and see how that goes.
Maybe they have to tell us things, because otherwise it's going to come out regardless.
Yeah, no, it's
come true. Out too fast and everyone's going to panic.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll see, travelers. So thank you, X. Lovely to hear from you again. And so Carrie, you're up next.
All right. Update on the blonde wolf I emailed about a year ago. Ooh, do you remember?
I remember that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This morning before leaving the house to drop off the kids to school, my dog starts barking violently in front of the tinted glass door out back. As soon as he does, it sounds like 100 or more crows start squawking. Ooh.
Oh, crows. God. We've had that happen in other stories. Yuck.
The crows definitely have words about things going on.
Mm-hmm.
Todd is still trying to go through the glass, So I put on my shoes. Naturally, the 8-year-old does too. So we go to the garage to go outside. I still have Todd in command and he is healing next to me. All of a sudden, there is movement and Todd bolts off. He's gone for 50 minutes. Ooh, I'd be super worried.
Yeah.
We run after him instantly. My oldest son jumps on his ATV and barrels down the trail. Eli and I are standing in the clearing and I finally see Todd. My oldest son comes back and says, we need to leave right now. He said he saw a tall, lanky, hunched over, hairy, black thing keeping pace with his machine. He would look over and it would appear to the left, then back to the right. I found where something is watching us through the windows from the hill behind the house and the trees. It smells of death up there, and Todd has this very bad, rotten odor to him of rotted tomatoes or something. I truly believe he chased off a dog man. This just happened at 7:15 this morning. My question is, what do I do now? Our location has got a lot going on that dogmen are drawn to, from Seth.
So, Seth, we need to know, and please email us right away. Do you want us to send a team? Because I think the best thing you can do is to send a team up there. We have a lot of reputable teams. If you want to give us your location, we will get a team in contact with you to go up there, because we're not dogmen experts, like, you know, or experienced, I should say, because there aren't really experts, but we're not as experienced in what to do to ward them off. But that's absolutely what this sounds like. And again, it wasn't to the right or to the left, because there's more than one of them. They hunt in packs. They're in packs. So I'm so glad your family is okay and your pet is okay. Lots of love to Todd, but I would start with iron spikes around the property. If you can, just go get railroad spikes. If you need them, let us know. And then email us to see if we can send out a team that is more experienced than us. We could get a hold of, you know, like Stacy Brown or some of these teams like that, and send somebody, Dave Spinks, like people who have experience with these type of creatures to help you in what you can do to protect your house.
Pretty scary. I mean, like, if you live in an area with dogmen, I don't know that you get rid of dogmen. You figure out how to live with them. Like,
yeah, it really sounds like they were herding and like funneling her son back to the house. Like, they were like, you're in our space, you need to go. So it doesn't sound like they were particularly violent in this situation. They were like, you just need to go to your side and we'll stay on our side. Though they are kind of creeping onto the property, and that is gross. And
Eric is making an face.
Erica does not trust the dog man in any situation.
I'm like,
surely they're part dog, and I love dogs, so they must not be.
You know, I love dogs. I have my Garrus and my Tolly, but no, I don't trust them. So, Seth, if you want our help, let me know. We will get some help out to you, because I don't like this. And it's one thing if you were moving into a territory, but I feel like the reverse is happening now. And I'm not a fan. So if you want help, reach out to us. We will send people who are better skilled than us to go.
Oh, and now there's the smell again. So we're getting more corroborating evidence that they have that nasty smell, because this is the second story today.
Yeah, it's that smells like death, which is what that smell is. Okay. Seth, I don't love that. Let us know. We'd love to help your family out.
I want to interject. Like, we finally have had like our first bear encounters around here. And I know a lot of people say that the bears smell really bad, but we had them come up the back porch, like kind of near the back gate. And one, they were really quiet for being a big, bulky, ambling around animal. And two, I didn't smell them. Like, I could see the flies on them and stuff. And I didn't, maybe our bear is much more hygienic than some of them, but I didn't.
He just took a bath.
So yeah. We have a black bear that lives on my mountain, a black bear family. Mm-hmm. And that is why I had to create a trash closet in which to lock my trash cans away, which I'm very proud of, and has a sign that says that bears will kill you. But I've had them right up next to my porch. I'm not saying they smell like tulips and stuff. Like, they're, I think, depending on how the wind catches them and stuff, you can smell You can, but you can smell animals. You can smell deer that way too if the wind catches them correctly. You know,
but it's like an animal smell, not a death smell. Like,
it's not a death smell. It's not a rotten garbage smell. Like they, to me, bears smell like they're sweaty. They don't. Some of them don't like bathe. Like a lot of animals don't just take baths. That's something we do when we bathe our dogs. But like that's part of the reason you have to get rid of the scent glands, like the. And I'm going to say this, but anal secretion for dogs, you know, because they will start having like a sort of predatory smell to them, which isn't pleasant, but it's not death. Like that is a very different smell when death happens. Like you can smell it on deers when they get the rotting disease. Anyway, it's got really dark.
Maybe our bears just don't have enough body of water to bathe in. We had a tub of water out just for the critters in general, and this bear crammed their entire body into this little tub of water and took a bath.
He's like, you left this out for me. Thank you.
Yes.
We need to get you a kiddie pool. I want to see bear bathing kiddie pool, Carrie. That's next on the list.
Put some bubbles in there.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet she would use it. We're pretty sure it's a girl.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, mine is because she has cubs, like the one I've seen. I think that male bears kind of walk around and, you know, like toss their...
I think the male bears are not involved with cubs, so...
Yeah, they're not. Again, this is another thing. So, Seth, let us know. But another thing, if you see bears and stuff, do not stop. Do not, like, try to take pictures. There are so many animals and stuff that end up having issues because people try to get involved with them. Like... They're a wild animal. Let them do that. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Carrie, you're up.
Greetings, travelers. Greetings.
Greetings.
Greetings. As a teenager, I was driving in San Bernardino Mountains with friends as we passed Santa Village, and we noticed huge footprints in the snow. We started to follow the prints to a fence that looked like a car drove into it, but there was no tire tracks, just the same footprints. I said to my friends, let's go to the train tunnel where the track went, and they stored the train in off-season. When I looked back, they were all up to the road, and I kept going to the train tunnel. When I got there, it smelled horrible. Then I heard a grunt, and I ran for the road. Yes, running back to the road. Good. This was September of 1973. Can't remember the exact date. Mark said to report, so this is mine. This is from Ricky. Well, thanks for reporting. Maybe someone else has had an experience in this area.
We'll get it reported to the BFRO and everything like that. We will report it for you. San Bernardino is in California.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Thinking. Okay.
And we will get this reported, but it definitely sounds like you ran into an old man of the woods and it was smart. Again, do you see? It just goes, hey, get out. And you intelligently left. Let's apply that philosophy always, travelers. I appreciate, Ricky, what you did. There we go. Okay, next one. Hey, travelers. Hey.
Hi.
I just wanted to reach out and inform you all about this. I live near Bangor, and I was heading home from work last night. I usually go through Martin's Creek. Bo, can you clickety-clack to where this is? Because I have no idea.
Maine. It's Maine.
It's in Maine. Okay, it's in Maine. Okay. I was driving on 611. It was about 9 p.m. when I passed the Alpha Cement building next to the quarry. To my surprise, what I thought was a shadow of a large owl sitting on top of a stump or a fence or a post on the right side of the road. It scared me at first because it was way up and sitting and made it look like it was 6 feet tall. I started going a little slower to take a photo, but as I got closer, it suddenly opened its wings, and to my surprise, it was massive, and its eyes were reddish brown, not even a light reflecting on. It was very bizarre. It looked like a man had put on an owl costume and the head of a human shape. When I looked up near the trees at the stump or the fence post, it then took off up near the trees, and the stump or fence post that was not something it was sitting on, but its legs. Wow. So it had to be almost 6 feet tall. The legs were a lot like a person. And the way it was standing when I was driving before, it had its wings tucked around its bottom legs and its head tucked into the top of its wings. I couldn't see the color of it. It looked black because it's dark, but I also thought it had some light brown on it. It shocked me so much I tried to take photos and videos, but it took off above the tree line toward Howell Road behind me. I have no idea if this was an animal that you guys can tell me about or if I saw a massive weird owl, but I wanted to inform you of this. I know we have small cats and dogs in the area. I was just wondering if anyone else in this area saw or heard anything the other night. Thank you. I've never seen an animal like this in the area before. I know it sounds like Mothman, but I swear it was an owl. Brent.
Owlman is a thing.
But
Owlman and Mothman are really like connected together in that some people called it an Owlman before it was called Mothman because it had owl features with the feathery wings and like the head that was really close to its body and like sunken in. So I guess it could be an Owlman, but Mark's comment kind of dissuades me on that.
It says, well, here's the thing is that Unsolved Mysteries did a whole thing on the Chicago Mothman, right? Mm-hmm. And the sightings people have had, because that's north of where the original OG Mothman sightings were in Point Pleasant, yeah. Right? Which was in West Virginia and right around that area. Here's the thing, though, is that, again, what we said earlier in the episode that I think, and, you know, Carrie brought it up, but I think this storm has moved more than just us in what it's doing, because it affected really deep parts of areas that are not as explored or not as populated.
And it affects the barometric pressure, which moves avian creatures like out of the area they were in so that they'll be safe. So maybe a flying thing that originated elsewhere went up to Maine to be safe.
Exactly. And I also think there could be, Mark's comment on this one was tulpas. So tulpas stem from enough belief in something that it then manifests itself. And that doesn't mean it's necessarily an owl thing. It's whatever takes that form, which we don't understand by any stretch of the imagination, but it's kind of like the not deer. That was
my favorite boys, the not deer. I love them so much.
I don't want to talk. I had a whole conversation about not deer last night, having to explain.
I need to draw one. I really want to.
But
I want to see one.
So, Brent, we'll reach out. Hey, any travelers up in Maine that saw something similar, reach out and let us know. Let's cooperate. Let's also get that reported to the different reporting agencies so we can start tracking if something there is happening.
So, is this a bit like kind of how like Wampus cats are seen in a lot of different regions and they really vary by region? Are we seeing more of just like bird-like, Mothman-like things and it just hasn't been reported that much up till now because it's a more of a weird thing to see?
Or is a lot of people didn't even know about Mothman till like mm-hmm. the Mothman Prophecies movie came out and this Unsolved Mysteries thing came out. Like we met a lot of people at Mothman Festival who were like, I didn't know about this until the Unsolved Mysteries episode. So I think a lot of people are hearing about it and then looking back at things that have happened to them or experiencing things now that relate to it, which is kind of what Mark said in that they're primed to see mm-hmm. a Mothman or something like Mothman because they now have.
Now that they know about it, they kind of have the framework to interpret what they saw a little bit since other people have seen it.
And we're also creating a safe space where people can report things. There are other organizations that do that too. We have a ton of, we call it a community, like all of the podcasts that we are on and share with other people, like Cryptids of the Corn, Sirens of the Supernatural, like Into the Fray. There's so many, I'm not going to list them all now, but we're a community. It's safe to report. So yes, keep reporting. And it's interesting because Carrie did a drawing, which is on our website, of the original one of the original witnesses that's still alive, which was a young person who had gotten picked up. And if you look at the interpretation that person who said that's exactly what it looked like, it is very similar to what you're describing. Mm-hmm. And so you should take a look at that picture. It's on our website. It's one of the Mothman photographs. It's a full body Mothman that Carrie drew. So check it out. Let us know if that's what you saw, because I'd be curious. Mm-hmm. To see if it's a similar creature.
Yeah, so. She said it was a lot more like a Sasquatch or humanoid with wings than the way it's been interpreted.
Because that's what she thought it was too. She thought it was a Sasquatch and kind of went into that field because she was trying to understand what she saw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Okay, Carrie, you're next.
Well, this is witchy. You sure? I feel like this is an Erica.
Okay, what I just read. How about you, Bo? You do this one, okay. And then Carrie can do the next, and then I'll do the final one, because we got to wrap up soon. We got a ton. Okay. We're going to do more episodes, but go for it.
Okay.
Hi, witchy friends of Eerie Travels.
Hello.
Hi.
I need some good spells sent my way, please. I am in Tampa. We have no water, no power, and a giant oak tree is on my husband's Jeep. I have many critters, a bearded dragon, tortoises, frogs, and cats. The dragon and tortoises are outside for heat and UV. I just can't figure out what to do with the giant oak on the Jeep. I mean, if it went the other way, we would not be here. I need all the positive vibes. I am breaking down. Thank you. And this is from Jade.
Tons of positive vibes are being sent your way from us. So let's start there.
Sure.
Jade, here's the thing. You've experienced a tragedy and it's horrible. And we're very sorry to hear all of that. I will say this, though, and Mark would say this. So here he is in spirit with us again, so to speak. I mean, he's alive. I keep saying in spirit.
He's alive and well. We all laid eyes on him today. He's fine.
We all laid eyes on him today. And, but the fact is that a lot of this is going to be intention and how you decide to approach this situation, because I'm not taking away the horribleness and the loss and the tragedy, but you have the option to go into that, or you have the option to take each piece that you can do something about and do something about it. So insurance generally will cover the Jeep thing. You've just got to give time and ability. I would reach out to your local Facebook community if you're on Facebook, or even reach out to local organizations, because there's so many people that are there to help. You have to let them know that you need help. If you just reach out and go, hey, I have this problem, can somebody come help? I know that the power company is working overtime trying to get all the power and water and everything reestablished. I'm glad you didn't lose your home. I'm glad your critters are safe. But I would, you know, one thing a friend of mine said, because I'm just starting to dabble into witchcraft, and not say dabble, she'll yell at me when she hears if I say dabble. I'm beginning my journey, so I'm a beginner witch, and I know Bo is stepping back into it. Again, I think we both classify ourselves as beginner witches in this regard, yeah. Like we're not experts. But what I did, one of the things I did, and I'm doing 3 times a week, is I am taking a black candle and a little bit of salt, and I put a little bit of grainy, you know, a chunky salt, and I light the black candle, and I put the intention for protection and help to those in need. And I do it as far, and what I do is I kind of imagine what I'm trying to help with it, who I'm trying to help, being very specific and not necessarily broad. And doing to the point where I feel like that's what I can do. And I don't know how to describe it other than that. Like, once I feel I've put as much specific intention as I can, I just watch the candle burn down. And it doesn't have to be a huge candle. And you could also, from what I understand, do it with a white candle. So that's what I'm doing, to like 3 times a week, just put as much positive energy out there as I can. But I always think it's important to pick one thing you can do something about and do that, right? And it might be also helping others, like having your stuff, but maybe spending time helping others if you need to in your neighborhood, seeing if you can get together. Those are my thoughts. What are your guys' thoughts?
So my 2 thoughts are, one, you can do like rituals in the way Erica described it, but you also can kind of be like, okay, if I don't have these materials, I can still just focus on the intention part of it. It works just as well. The point of those objects is kind of like focus your intention there and kind of see it tangibly. So you don't really have to do all that if you don't have those materials. Or you can choose different materials. Witchcraft is very like, just about intention. It doesn't matter what tools you use, but it's great to have those tools. And my other thought is, I think it's important that while you take care of all these physical problems, like the Jeep and dealing with the damage, I think it is also important to realize that you just went through a traumatic experience and that you should make sure to take care of your mental health during this time, because if your mental health is suffering, then it's going to be harder to deal with these more tangible problems. And a storm is a trauma, and you can get post-traumatic stress. So just take care of yourself.
That was really great from both of you. Yeah, it's overwhelming at first, but you take little steps to fixing things and feeling better, and it'll get fixed. I feel really confident there's a lot of people out there just trying to help everyone who needs help. Someone will come by who can handle the tree for you or can point you in the right direction. And I also have to give love to the pets, because reptile lover, but also for your mammals too. But glad that everyone is okay, because that's always the most important thing.
Agreed. Agreed. Okay, Bo, do you want to go? Oh, you just went. So Carrie?
My turn. All right. Ooh, another Maine one. Hi, I built a house in Maine on 20 acres. Nice.
The dream.
I used to walk the boundary lines all the time with my dog, no problem. Then one day my dog stayed home because he was older. I got to the first corner and stopped short. I got a sick feeling like someone was watching me, and if I went any further, I would die. Ooh.
Oh, no.
I looked around and could not see anything, but the feeling was terrible. Oh, my God. I turned around and started whooping it out, not running, but faster. I felt something right behind me. I turned around fast. There was nothing there. I kept hoofing out and turned around again. Nothing really freaky, but just a terrible feeling. I got back to my house and poured a big glass of wine. I went back a week later and nothing. I have no clue what happened. This is from Janet. Thank you, Janet.
Well, yes, Janet. First of all, that sounds creepy as hell. And second of all, who knows? Things move around. Like, you know, whatever these things are, as we all say, preternatural, we have no clue what the intention and stuff like that and where they came from. And if they're just wandering, again, iron spikes at the corner of your property might not be a bad idea if you can do that, or at several intervals, if you can, just to keep whatever that was. But it sounds like you grabbed something's attention and you did the right thing and noped out of there. So go team nope. I'm a big fan of noping out of situations like that. So well done. Well done.
It seemed to be passing through rather than a resident, especially when you got like 20 acres.
Yeah.
And I'll be a nerd. I think it's Northwood's Law that covers Maine with the rangers of all the national forests and stuff. And like, dude, Maine is a lot of woods and wild and crazy. Oh my God.
Okay. So I'm going to do, I think, let me look at timing here. I'm going to do a last one. And then we have many more. We've got some more episodes coming up. So we will get to all your stories, I promise. So here we go. It is a nightmare here in Western North Carolina. Wow. Y'all burn some sage and candles and make good magic for us all. We dodged what could be considered the worst of it, and it was awful in our little town. These mountains are old and strong and resilient. I feel the spirits of our ancestors now more than I have in some time, but we can still use all the help and energy we can get. Hope you all are safe. Terry. Well, Terry, that is both prolific and ironic that is the episode, not timed that way. I mean, the story. So Terry, thank you. I'm glad you're safe. We're safe here. Again, to what I said earlier, one is, you know, we talk a lot about burning sage and stuff, and a lot of people want to do that for cleansing. There's a lot of controversy on whether or not burning sage does anything, but I will say, that Mark would say it too, it's intention. So whatever the intention is for you that does what you want it to do, we are sending good vibes. So travelers out there, again, if there's any help you can give up here in Western North Carolina or in Florida to the people that are been affected by Helene and Milton, and also in Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, I'm not, hopefully not missing any areas, that all these areas need help. So if you can, please do that. And if nothing else, take a moment, step outside, take a really deep breath, and put some positive energy out there to help your fellow humans that are going through things that you're not going through. You know, travelers, we love you. Thank you for everything you do. Thank you for all of your support for us. Thank you for all of your support for your other fellow humans. We are sending as many positive vibes into the universe as all of us can and helping in any ways we can. So how would I do this? Travelers, thank you for telling us your stories. We really appreciate it. And if you're walking outside or climbing on boulders and you get that feeling like you should run. Do that, because there are so many things out there that we just don't know what they are. And we do not want to do anything but hear your amazing stories of the creepy things you encountered and got away from. So with that, travelers, we will see you on the other side.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.